You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Committee on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights released concluding observations on the rights of New Zealand. In it, they recommend legislative change that incorporates more rights and focusing on ensuring the Bill of Rights Act and Treaty of Waitangi are considered more in legislation. I spoke with Edwina Hughes from Peace Movement Aotearoa about the report, first asking her to explain her group's and other NGOs' role in the process.
We provided them with related primarily to the constitutional and legal framework, issues around the lack of protection on Indigenous people's rights. There was also a section on socio-economic conditions around increasing levels of child poverty, the right to an adequate standard of living, so social welfare and paid employment, the housing crisis, and also the allocation of public spending, where we raised issues around the government or successive governments' commitment to high levels of military spending when there's such clear social need.
And before we get into the recommendations, because this sort of takes place every few years, what are the positives? Have we improved much since the last report?
No, I think that it's quite clear that, I mean, there was a very small paragraph that the committee mentioned, you know, positive aspects. But I think the clearest thing is because levels of poverty, homelessness and so on have increased, that the committee was really concerned about it. And it is worse than when they last considered New Zealand's performance. So during the NGO briefing and again during the interactive dialogues with the government delegation, the committee repeatedly said that they were mystified as to why a country such as New Zealand, you know, which by global standards is a developed and wealthy nation, has such high levels of poverty and homelessness in particular. And I don't know if you noticed, but in the concluding observations, the committee specifically refers to the gradual increase of the minimum wage to subsistence level.
Mm.
You know, and if you think about it, like yesterday, the new living wage rate came out, and that's more than $4 an hour more than what the minimum wage is set at. You know, which that's $160 a week more than for somebody working a 40-hour week, which would make a substantial difference.
Yeah. They've also raised concerns about the rights in the international covenant not being fully incorporated into New Zealand law. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yes, certainly. To pick up on some of the issues around that, I mean, there is a very clear need for constitutional change here, not only economic, social and cultural rights, but also civil and political rights. The Treaty of Waitangi and so on and so forth, you know, just are not recognised by successive governments in any complete way, which the committee referred to several times. The Matiki Mai Aotearoa report, which is referenced in the committee's concluding observations, that certainly has the best recommendations for constitutional change that we've seen going forward. One of the key issues, of course, is around parliamentary sovereignty, where even where the courts have ruled that legislation breaches human rights, Parliament has reacted to that by enacting legislation that sets in place further human rights violations. And one of the recent examples of that is the New Zealand Public Health and Disability Amendment Act. There's also, I think, you know, at a sort of a different level, if you like, there is a lack of awareness and interest in New Zealand's human rights obligations, which are legally binding. All of the international conventions and covenants that New Zealand signed up to, that was done voluntarily. And politicians in particular seem to have both a lack of awareness and interest in them. And one of the things that I don't think, in fact, it's in the concluding observations, but one of the recommendations that has been made by a number of NGOs as a first step would be to have a human rights select committee that comprises politicians who have an interest in and knowledge of New Zealand's human rights commitments, and then for that committee to look at all New Zealand legislation.
Because obviously the ideal would be to have a constitution where rights are entrenched, but it's not looking like that'll happen anytime soon. So what could the government do instead of this?
In the first instance, as I just said, it is to do with politicians' approach to human rights. And so some sort of education program for politicians whereby they're made aware of New Zealand's human rights obligations would be a good start. A human rights select committee would be another way to move forward on it. But the thing is that while this notion of parliamentary sovereignty remains, there are going to be continual issues in terms of both the Treaty of Waitangi and also New Zealand's other human rights obligations. I mean, we would favour a shift to treaty-based constitutional arrangements. And as I said before, the recommendations in the Matiki Mai Aotearoa report talk about how to protect human rights for everyone.
Are the rights often ignored by the government?
Yes, I mean, Parliament enacts legislation that breaches human rights and the treaty all the time.
They've also talked about the unconscious racial bias that is prevalent in Aotearoa. Can you talk about this a bit?
There is a section in the concluding observations about where the committee refers to entrenched unconscious bias towards Māori in education, health, justice and social services, which has a significantly detrimental impact on Māori in all areas of life. Now, we tend not to use the phrase unconscious bias because it kind of individualises the problem. I mean, obviously, unconscious bias does exist, but it's within the context of structural discrimination or institutional racism, whichever phrase you prefer to use, which is the wider issue.
I mean, we've known for a long time that there is institutional bias against Māori and Pacifica in New Zealand. Andrew Little's come out and said, yes, the criminal justice system does have a bias against these groups. Why is so little being done to kind of address this?
Well, I think one of the reasons why is until very recently, no New Zealand government has accepted the historical and ongoing processes of colonisation. In fact, the Minister of Justice, Andrew Little, a few weeks ago in relation to prisons, did talk about systemic bias. And so far as we're aware, that's the first time a Minister of Justice has done that, right? In sort of the past decade or so, politicians have sometimes talked about unconscious bias. Sorry, I'm talking about government politicians of the ruling parties, either National or Labour. Obviously, when the Māori Party was in Parliament, they often talked about structural discrimination or institutional racism, because that's what the issue is. It's beyond individuals' attitudes. It is a structural problem. All of the structures and institutions here are Pākehā institutions, so they're not going to be responsive, certainly not to Māori or to any other culture.
So do you have anything you'd like to see done that could help to address this issue?
Well, on one level, certainly if the government would recognise that this is an issue around, the ongoing processes of colonisation. I mean, having Pākehā institutions is, an example of that. That would be a really, really good start. But this, again, comes back to the issues around the need for constitutional change. If we had treaty-based constitutional arrangements, then this wouldn't be such an issue because the institutions and structures would change in accordance with that.
Do you feel this Labour New Zealand First government might be better in this department than previous governments?
It's early days yet. I think that's just a matter. I mean, basically, we have to wait and see what this new government, or newish now it is, government does. There were some concerns. I mean, I don't know if you've watched the interactive dialogues with the committee. It's 2-3 hour dialogues, so they're quite detailed. There were some issues that were quite concerning, where the Minister of Justice talked about issues around constitutional change, around the treaty, but also around the reservation that New Zealand has to the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, which is around the rights of trade unions and the right to strike. And he said very clearly that they won't be changing that. Also, there's an optional protocol to the International Covenant whereby people whose economic, social or cultural rights have been violated can complain directly to the UN committee. And the Minister of Justice also made it quite clear that New Zealand's position on that would not be changing either.
Is the government under, an obligation to address the recommendations? Or, what are the repercussions if they don't?
Well, on a practical level, there aren't going to be any repercussions other than what NGOs and others can, you know, I mean, you know, can keep raising these issues with them. I mean, they are, as I said before, they are legally binding obligations. This international human rights instrument, among the others that New Zealand's entered into, it was done voluntarily. You know, and it's a bit of a mystery as to why New Zealand ratifies these agreements if they're not actually going to stick to them, all right?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.